Well, if you have your Bibles, I feel like a broken record over the last 9 weeks now. If you have your Bibles, open up to Ephesians 4, all right? Once again, we are continuing to plug away at Ephesians 4. But this week, we're actually going to hit two verses, okay? We're going to hit two verses instead of the one that we went through last week. Last week, we only went through one verse, but it was pretty powerful. I can just tell you that even as I prepared it throughout the week, there were many tears that I went through as the Lord was working on my heart that last week as we were preparing over that one scripture. But it was some powerful scripture. I've realized that I've gotten totally off my teaching schedule that I kind of had of laid out of the scriptures. I am totally off my teaching schedule, but that's okay because God's in control. And forget about Darren's agenda. Forget about Darren's schedule, and let's follow the Lord's schedule. And so we're just each week now as we're diving, I'm just like, okay, Lord, how much of this do you want us to take? And so this week it's two verses, and we're moving ahead. When we began in the beginning of Ephesians 4, we were in a series titled Extending His Kingdom. Now, over the last 5 weeks now, we've been in a series called In the Light. And we've talked about God's desire for us to walk in the light. Because it's when we're in His light, when we're in the light, that the darkness is exposed. And I don't know about you, but in the midst of these scriptures, in the midst of Ephesians 4 over the last several weeks, God has been exposing things in my life, things that I didn't even know were there, that I didn't even know I needed to deal with. But God's been exposing those things, and you know what? It's a good thing, right? It's a good thing. Because as those things are exposed, it allows us to begin to deal with them and to begin to take care of those things. And as we've talked about, Paul's told us to put off the old. When we see what they are, it allows, oh yeah, I need to get rid of that. It allows us to put that off and to put on the new. And so let's dive into the scripture this morning and see what else God is wanting to expose in our lives, okay? All right, so we are in Ephesians 4, verses 29 and 30 this morning. And this is what 29 and 30 says. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Two verses here. And the first thing that Paul talks about, two things that he kind of addresses in these scriptures, and the first thing that Paul addresses in these scriptures has to do with the matters of our mouth. It has to do with the tongue. We refer to often as the tongue. Our talk, our words, our conversations, the things that we say. And I think it's important right off the bat that we realize the power of our words, the power of our mouths, the power of our tongues. The first thing I did as I read this scripture and as I began to just kind of pray and meditate on that scripture, the first thing I did was I went to my computer and I looked up the tongue and the mouth in the scriptures and looked up all the scriptures that talked about the mouth and the tongue. And there are many, many scriptures that talk about this in the Word how drastically different the power can be used, because it talks about the power of the tongue and how drastically different that power can be used. It can be used for good, it can be used for bad. And so let me give you a few examples of some of the scriptures that I came across. The first is Proverbs 18:21, and it says this. It says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." Now think about that. Two extremes here. It has the power to give life, and it has the power to bring death. Pretty powerful tool when you think about life and death and the power of the tongue. Another scripture, Proverbs 12:18 says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." So the tongue has the power, one, to pierce like a sword. Ouch. But it also has the power to heal and to bring healing. Two different extremes, two powerful things. Another scripture, James 3:9-10 says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. Two extremes, two different things that we see coming out of the mouth. The tongue is a powerful thing, and Paul is well aware of this fact. And that's why he addresses it in these scriptures. Paul knows that God did not create our mouths to bring death. Though it's capable of doing that, that is not why he created our mouth. That's not why he created our tongues. He didn't create us to bring death or to tear people down or to have unwholesome talk come out of it. No, he created our mouths to bring life, to encourage, to lift up one another. That's what our mouths are for, to come alongside, to encourage and to help one another. We need to make sure that we use our mouth for good. Make sure it's helpful to others, not hurtful or harmful. It's interesting, as I read these scriptures, I couldn't help but think of my first grade teacher, Mrs. Gamble. Moved to, in 1978, 79, moved to Eugene, Oregon from California, and my first grade teacher, Mrs. Gamble, sweet, sweet lady. You know, not too old. Back then she seemed older, but I don't think she was now, realizing, because, probably late 40s, early 50s, but just this sweet lady that was just so kind and tender how she talked to you. And even so, we were in it was a Christian school, Eugene Christian School, and back then they were allowed to spank children when they were bad. And I even remember, compared to some of the other teachers that I saw spank kids, you know, her thing was when she spanked a child, she would, you know, spank them, and it wasn't that very hard of a spanking. And then she would set them on their lap, and she would just love on them. And by the time that they were done, they were laughing and giggling, and she just, you know, just had that kind of, that heart. You know what I'm talking about? Very encouraging. And so when I think of these scriptures, I go back to Miss Gamble. But the main reason I go back to Miss Gamble is because she would sing this song. Whenever someone would say something not nice or would talk badly about someone else or use words that they shouldn't use, she would break into this little song, and I still hear it today. And it was something like this. It was, "Gossip, gossip, ugly thing, such unhappiness it brings. If you can't say something nice, don't talk at all, is my advice." And she would break into that song anytime kids were saying. So immediately as I'm walking through the scripture, I could hear Mrs. Gamble once again singing that song in my head and reminding me about those words. And the thing is, what if we live by those words, right? What if we truly live by those words, that if we can't say something nice, then let's just not talk at all, is my advice. What if we live by those words? If we truly kept our mouths shut at times instead of speaking words that were not kind, that were not nice. This is basically what Paul's saying here. This is what he's asking of us. This is what he's encouraging of us. This is the new that Paul is telling us to put on, as we've talked about putting off the old. Let's put off the words that we used to use, the way we used to communicate to people, the language we used to use. Let's put that off. And let's put on the new, the words that God has called us to use, words that uplift, words that encourage. He's basically saying, get rid of the old tongue and put on the new. But here's the question. As I was reading all these scriptures on the tongue, I came across, and it was funny, as I'm reading this, it's right around one of the ones I already read, I came across the scripture, and I thought, well, is it possible to put off the old tongue and to put on the new? Because here's a scripture I read, James 3:8. It says this. It says, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." It says, no man can tame the tongue. Now you can read that and say, it's impossible. I can't watch what I... It's impossible to tame the tongue. So, you know, hey, sorry, just take it for what it is. You really are one of these, right? You know, whatever you're going to say to someone else, we'll use that as an excuse. But here's the thing. What's impossible for man is possible for God. What's impossible for us to do is possible through God, through the power of His Holy Spirit. As I studied and prayed about these scriptures, I realized that the tongue, that the words we speak, is really a matter of the heart. It's really a matter of what's in here. It's actually a heart issue, because what's in our heart is what comes out of our mouth, right? One of the scriptures that popped up was Luke 6:45. It says this. It says, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." For out of what's in here is what comes out of here. I love the way J. Vernon McGee, I love the way he said it. He says this, he says, "What's in the well of the heart will come through the bucket of the mouth." What's in the well of the heart will come through the bucket of the mouth. What's in here is going to come out. If we want to speak what is good, if we want to speak what is uplifting, if we want to speak what is encouraging, then we need to fill our hearts with what is good. We need to fill our hearts with what's uplifting. We need to fill our hearts with what's encouraging. And I guess the big question here is how? How do we do this? How do we get the crud out of our hearts, the crud that affects the words we speak, the junk down there that causes us to say those things that we don't want to say? How do we do this? I'm a youth pastor, and I get to do a youth pastory thing this morning. I want to do an illustration with you this morning. So I brought some stuff. I haven't got to do this yet since I've been here. These are the kind of things I used to love to do in youth group. I'm going to do a little illustration with you on how do we do this. How do we get the crud? Oops, let me not drop this whole thing. That would be really bad, and it would ruin my illustration. Check out my balance. I'm good. I'm going to do it up here so everyone can see. There we go. All right. Ta-da! All right. Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat now. All right. So here's the thing. The reality is we come out of this life of sin. And so what's in there? It's the crud of our life of sin. So the Lord says, "Come as you are." So it's not like as we come that automatically, okay, I've come, now all of a sudden, magically, bloop, it's gone. Right? There's still crud that's there. There's still stuff in our lives. And so how do we really put off the old? How do we remove the crud out of our hearts so that the things that come out are the things of Him? And this is a simple illustration that I've used in youth group before. But it's the reality that is if we've got garbage in here, the only way to get rid of it is to fill it up with that which is pure and that which is right. And let's not spill this all over everything up here. But the thing is as we begin to pour into our lives the things of God, and as we begin to continue to fill it with the things of Him, the awesome thing is that, yeah, it takes time, and it's a process. Like I said, God continues to work in our lives, and it's a slow process, but as we're faithful to continue to pour in the things of Him, He's faithful to continue to cleanse us and to pure us and to make us righteous in Him. And after a while, when we continue to fill our lives with Him and more of Him and more of Him, that's what's in there to come out of our lives. He gets rid of all the crud and allows His Spirit to be alive inside of us. That's His desire for our lives, that we would flush out the old. Philippians 4:8 kind of lays it out for us scripturally. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." You see, God's desire is that we would fill our lives with the things of Him, not the things of the world. Now, the world was in us But as we come to Him now, as we walk in obedience, as we talked about one of our values earlier, as we walk in obedience, that obedience is then beginning to put the things of Him in and allow the things of Him to be removed, that we can be made whole. His desire is that we be so full of Him and His love that the only thing that could possibly spill out of our mouths would be the words of love and encouragement that edify and that lift up one another. You see, we don't have the power to tame the tongue in our own strength, but the love of Jesus does. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can put on the new self and allow our hearts to be filled with the things of Him. Amen? That's God's desire for our life, to get rid of the unwholesome talk. And I could probably have stopped at that scripture and maybe expounded on a little bit more and touched on those things. But the second thing Paul says here in verse 30, I think goes hand in hand with this scripture this morning of the unwholesome talk. I think these two scriptures just match each other well. And so in verse 30, after talking about the unwholesome talk, Paul goes in and he says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom we were sealed for the day of redemption." And I think for us to capture what Paul is saying here, it'll help us actually to go back to Luke 6, the scripture that we read earlier, Luke 6:45, which said this. It said, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." And then immediately, if you were to follow that scripture with 6:45, it says this: "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" I believe one of the ways that we grieve the Holy Spirit is when we live contrary to who He is. When we live contrary to who the Holy Spirit is. You see, we've been given the Holy Spirit to guide us. We've been given the Holy Spirit to help us live our life for the Lord. But when we fail to live by His direction and His guidance, it grieves Him. It grieves the Holy Spirit. When we give our lives to Jesus, He gives us the Holy Spirit. You know, in the scriptures it said, Jesus said, "I must leave so I can send you someone else," right? The gift that I have for you. And so when we give our life to Jesus, He gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. And the reality is that every part of our soul and body should be devoted to Him, to living our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, through Him. Paul says it's with the Holy Spirit whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Here's what I understand about grieving the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Holy Spirit to help us live the life that He's called us to live. He's our helper, our guide, as we walk through this journey called life, right? Tough thing, this journey called life. And He's our guide and our helper. God has given us someone to help us. He's the one that will actually help us put on the new. But when we continue to fill our lives with the things of the old, when we continue to fill our lives with the things of the world, and fail to take on the new, I believe it grieves the Holy Spirit, and it keeps Him from being able to do what He was given to us to do. That we isolate Him. When we begin to fill our lives with the things of the Lord and we begin to choose disobedience instead of obedience, it isolates the Holy Spirit and doesn't allow Him, it grieves Him and doesn't allow Him to do what He's been given to us to do. I've heard it said in this way, which I thought was interesting, but I've heard it said that some Christians live with a grieved Holy Spirit and some Christians live with an ungrieved Holy Spirit. And I thought that was interesting. I don't know about you, but I want to live with an ungrieved Holy Spirit. I want to be someone who lives the way God has called me to live. I don't want to be a person who because of the choices I make, don't allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that He wants to do in my life. I want to allow the Holy Spirit to work freely in my life. And I really believe it's a matter of the heart. When our heart is actively seeking to live the life God has for us, I believe it doesn't grieve the Holy Spirit, it pleases the Holy Spirit. when we're actively, because here's the thing, we're not perfect. We're going to at times allow junk into our life, but I really believe it's that we're actively seeking to live the life that God's called us to live, that we're searching for those things, that we're trying to be in the light so that God can expose those things. We're not full-heartedly going after the things of the world. Because it's when we full-heartedly go after the things of the world, that's what I believe, is we seek the things of the world and continue to fill with things of the world, it grieves the Holy Spirit. But as we are actively seeking the Lord, we're going to make mistakes. But as we're actively seeking Him, I believe it pleases the Holy Spirit and allows Him to do the work that He was given to do, which is ultimately to change us from the inside out, to see that crud be lifted up out of our lives and to see a wholeness and a purity becoming who we are. Let's be people who do our best to not let unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. People that do our best to only speak things that are uplifting and encouraging or that are pleasing and honoring to the Lord. Let's be people who are putting off the old and doing our best to fill our hearts with the things of the Lord. People who don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but instead please Him and allow Him to do the work in our lives the way He was intended to do it. That's my desire. That's what I believe as we look at these scriptures, what God wants to speak to us this morning. He wants us to continue to put off the old, to put on the new, and allow the Holy Spirit to do that. As we're seeking Him, it allows the Holy Spirit to do what we cannot do, right? But what He can. Amen? Amen. Let's pray and we'll finish with a worship song this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your word. And Lord, I'm just amazed. Every week You just continue to speak out of these scriptures, Lord Jesus. You continue to challenge us, to encourage us, Lord. And Lord, you're not bringing us these words to condemn us and to make us feel horrible about ourselves. When we look and say, man, you know what? I know I've said a lot of unwholesome talk this last week. I know I've said things I shouldn't, because Lord, I know that's me. And Your desire, Lord, isn't to condemn us and make us feel horrible about ourselves. Your desire is that we would come into the light, that we would see and allow these things to be exposed so that we can deal with them, so that we can give them to You, and that we can allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives in a way that will change us, that will make us new in You, Lord Jesus. That's our prayer. So Lord, meet us where we're at. As we walk through these things today, Lord, I just pray each of us, Lord, we're at different areas and different aspects in our journey and in our walk with You, and I just pray You meet us where we're at, that You just encourage us, that You challenge us, Lord Jesus, that You help us to live the life You've called us to live, a life that not only pleases the Holy Spirit, but pleases You, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the whole picture, Lord Jesus. We want to honor You. We want to glorify You in all that we do, Lord. We thank You. We praise You. We give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.